welcome to this week's episode of The Fitcast. This is episode number 223. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me for the time being is Dr. Jonathan Fast. John, what's up, man?
Even for the time being.
Well, I'm going to be talking with Rachel Cosgrove in a couple minutes, and...
Oh, that makes sense.
We might talk to Lee Peel. We'll see. We'll see if it fits in to schedule. Again, we had scheduling craziness, possibly due to Hurricane Irene. But anyways, quick things I want to run through. Like I said, Rachel Cosgrove is going to be coming up in just about like 2 minutes. Stick around for that. Also, I want to mention that Nagar, you might have seen her if you're like a Body by Boyle online member. She and Joe Sansalone came on and did like a whole like a 2-hour seminar in kettlebell training and how they like to teach kettlebells and their progressions for their clients and athletes. She's going to be coming on the show this week. I'm hoping to have her on either Tuesday or Thursday. Again, trying to match up schedules. And
I'm just going to put this out there. If you've never watched her YouTube videos, you need to look her up and watch her YouTube videos because she's ridiculously
strong. No, she's super strong.
It's amazing.
Inspirational for all the women out there. It's amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
And you know what? I am like really...
all the women. Screw that for all the guys too. Are you kidding me?
I know, totally.
some crap that she does. I'm like, whoa.
But you know, I want to reiterate, I really appreciate the emails that I've been getting. I've gotten a lot of emails from the female listeners in the last couple of weeks, you know, just saying, you know, thanks for having more females on the show. And I know it's something that I kind of looked at the last like dozen or 20 interviews that I've done. I'm like, man, there's only like one female in this whole list. I know a lot of women in this industry. I got to get in contact with them because I want to pick their brains too. So we're going to...
Yeah, nothing up for you.
The ladies, and you know, in the last couple of weeks, we had Allie McKee on, obviously, who, man, she was just awesome to talk to. You know, super nice, and really happy to talk to her. And like I said, Rachel today, and also we're going to be talking with Nagar sometime this week, and you know. Maybe at least one or two more females before we head back to the males because sometimes the dudes are boring. The last time I did with Smitty was awesome. And again, thanks for the feedback. People are really, I'm not saying that, John, I'm not saying people are emailing in and saying, I'm so glad to not hear John's voice, but people are really digging the change of pace of the interviews.
Well,
but
people besides me emailing in saying.
Well, we're going to do both. I mean, we're going to do both. We just, John was traveling and I've been moving, so we're going to hopefully match things up now and be on a regular scheduled program. And I'm also have been talking with some local guys about kind of not reviving the Fit Cast supplement, but sitting down with a bunch of trainers that are local, like at my apartment with our setup and just talk to each other. Like, again, kind of like talk shop and you know, see where it goes. If people like
That's
it,
cool.
we'll keep doing it. Because again, I think a lot of the best conversation comes from not saying, can you talk about your kettlebell training? Or, you know, what's your favorite single leg exercise and why? I think the better conversations come up when we say, all right, so, you know, say if you have this situation, how would you deal with it? And then I can be like, all right, that makes a lot of sense. You know, would you do this instead? And why, or why would you do that? So, a little bit more back and forth, not less like, you know, question and answers, like we're interrogating people.
Round table.
Yeah. A little bit more round table. And, you know, again, I feel, you know, pretty lucky to have been able to interview all these people. And again, if I'm going to call them up and pick the brains, you guys might as well sit on it too and listen to the responses because hopefully a lot of this stuff will be relevant and things that you can bring over into your own training and your own programming if you want to get into that. So, yeah, I think that is it. So let's take a quick break. We're going to talk with Rachel, and then we're going to come back and we're going to be talking about some news stories and discussing some topics, so stick around. With me right now is Rachel Cosgrove. We've had her on in the past, but if you don't know, she's the author of The Female Body Breakthrough and also the owner of Results Fitness, a columnist for Women's Health Magazine and spokesperson for Secret Deodorant. Rachel, it's great to have you back on the show. We haven't talked in a while. How you been?
I'm good. Been busy, and yeah, everything's been good. Thank you for having me on again.
Well, I've been doing this thing for the last couple of weeks where I've been trying to get, you know, some of the, you know, best minds, the best female minds in the industry. And I'm just, again, I want to say it's a pleasure to have you back on, because I think, you know, with the podcast, I tend to neglect the female listeners a little bit. So I'm trying to give back and, you know, make sure we cover all those bases too, because, you know, what I've been talking about with some of the other female guests is, you know, a lot of the times you tend to need to make special considerations for women, because, you know, as much as we want to say, you know, that the programming is going to be similar, there's definitely specific considerations that we would need to make. So we'll probably get into that in a little bit. But the first thing I wanted to ask you about, it's been about a year since we last talked, and within that time period, have you guys made any notable additions or subtractions to the programming at Results?
So, yeah, we have. We actually completely just redid our entire programming system. We sat down, Alan and I sat down with Mike and Craig, Mike Wunsch and Craig Rasmussen, who are our program designers, and we basically started from scratch. We said, okay, because we've kind of felt like over the years, we've been in business 11 years, and over the years, you know, as we learn stuff, we, you know, we kind of go, okay, does this fit in with our philosophies? Does this make sense? Will this give our clients better results? And if the answer is yes, then we take whatever that is. Maybe it's a kettlebell, or maybe it's a TRX, or maybe it's, you know, whatever it might be. And we kind of pile it on top of what we were currently doing. And so it was kind of like over the 11 years, every time, you know, we'd learn something or we'd add something new, it kind of got piled into, you know, what we were currently doing. And so we just kind of thought, you know what, it's been, you know, 11 years. We need to just basically kind of, you know, clean slate, you know, put everything aside, and now let's start from the bottom. And, you know, and really, how do we write a program, and what's our system? And now that we know everything that we know that we've learned over the last 11 years, you know, let's create, you know, our system again from scratch. So, you know, we definitely have gone through and, you know, revamped our entire system. We do have a brand new program design fat loss manual that recently came out. It's actually only available through Perform Better right now. And that takes you through step by step. It has everything in there of how we design our programs and, you know, all the nitty gritty. But some of the major things I would say, you know, really simplifying our screening process, our assessment, you know, making sure that we only are doing what we need to do with the client, that initial appointment and that initial evaluation, so that we can really build rapport with them and get them started as soon as possible, but really making sure we're not just, you know, evaluating for evaluation's sake, and we're really, you know, looking at exactly what we need to know to design that person's program. And so, you know, we've really streamlined our evaluation process. And then we've actually really created, you know, over the 11 years training hundreds of people, we at this point have templates. You know, we don't have to start with a blank program sheet every time we write a program. There, you know, there really is, you know, a template that, you know, when we first start writing a program for a client, we can start with that template. And so that's something that we've done now, is we do have program design templates with drop-down menus. And so that gives us a place to start. Not to say that we still sit down and do individualized programs, but, it, you know, for most clients, 80% of the clients, you know, they're going to start with a similar set of exercises, a similar, you know, first rep range. And so that's something that, you know, having it on a template has really allowed us to systemize our programming and make it even faster for our program design team to be able to write a really, you know, cutting edge, individualized, specific program for each of our clients. So, and then the other thing I say that's changed over the last year is that we've added power in as a priority exercise for all of our clients. No matter where they're at, what level they're at, and it can be, you know, a different level of power development or power exercise, but really, you know, because, you know, in the research they're showing that that's one of the number one things we start to lose is, so that's something that we've made a priority in our programs. And then we've just, the corrective exercises and the range of motion and, you know, a lot of our movement, just, you know, improving range of motion, flexibility, those kinds of things, we've started to put those in as between sets. So maybe you do, you know, a set of squats and then a set of push-ups, and then you'll do maybe a hip flexor stretch, you know, or ankle mobility, or so it's, we've kind of added those in, so you're doing them throughout the program too, so they're not kind of, you know, separate in the beginning, they're actually throughout the program. And I'd say those are probably the major changes we've made in the last year. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of changes because we did completely revamp everything, so but yeah, is that answer your question?
Oh, no, definitely. And one of the things that, you know, we kind of talked about it in the past, but I love how you guys kind of structure the programs, like you do the most important thing first, you know,
right.
and you make sure that, you know, when you're fresh and you can put your, you know, you can put the most energy towards the things that are most important, like starting with, you know, core strength, obviously. Is that still the case over the last couple of years? Cool. Awesome.
Yeah, we still have core in the beginning of our program. Now we have, you know, core and then power.
Mm-hmm.
What we've found, most of our clients don't have a whole lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what our programs are based on, are that if you have limited time, you know, if your client's only going to come in 2 hours a week, you know, what do we need to get done?
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that, yeah, the moment they walk through that door, you know, we're doing them a disservice if we don't fill that 1 hour that they set aside, you know, for their exercise, if we don't give them, you know, as a priority what they really need and what, you know, their fitness program needs to include. And so that's really, you know, the filter that we do run our programming through is, you know, we know that our average client, you know, doesn't have a whole lot of time and that we really need to make sure their time is used effectively.
And then again, you know, along with the training that you do offer there, you guys do still have classes and stuff like that. What are you guys offering now?
Yeah, we actually have two different memberships. We call them our basic membership and our customized membership.
Mm-hmm.
So the customized membership has the individualized program. It has a coach who works with you once a week in a semi-private setting. And then you also have access to the gym, and you have access to our group classes. And so the group classes are basically the basic membership is what includes the group classes and access to the gym. So it's more of a general, general basic gym membership that includes our group metabolic classes. And then we also have what we call total body classes, which the total body classes are our group version of a strength workout. So, so those are more general. We do look for a certain, score on their functional movement screen in order for them to qualify to jump into those group classes. And basically within the group classes, we also have those color-coded so that, you know, they're either a, the class might be a more beginner class, or it might be, you know, more, you know, intermediate, or then we have like our black belt classes that are, you know, really you have to be at a specific, be able to, you know, move basically. We want to know that you're scoring at least, you know, above a 14 on the functional movement screen, you don't have anything, you know, injuries or anything like that, and
mm-hmm.
That you're able to, you know, jump into something like that.
Cool.
So that keeps it so that it's still somewhat individualized, you know, even though it is a group program.
No, that's great. That's awesome. Again, I think it might have been either last time or two times before that we've had you on when the Female Body Breakthrough came out. It was it's hard to believe, but it's been almost 2 years since that came out. And I will say, my ex-girlfriend took that book and never gave it back, so I ended up buying another copy. So if she's listening, I'd like to have that back. But
no, keep it.
No, she loved it. To be honest, she loved it. When she met me, she was actually looking at my bookshelf, and that was the one book. Like I must have like 70 books on fitness, and that was the one that she grabbed like out of nowhere and said, you know, can I borrow this? I'm like, hell yeah, come on.
Well, good. That's who that book was written for. You know, it was written for the female who hasn't quite nothing else out there has really clicked for
mm-hmm.
them. And so I'm excited how much it has resonated with so many women and, you know, really has helped a lot of women, which is exciting because that was my goal with that book. So.
No, yeah, definitely. Like she was coming off of, she's a former college athlete, but hasn't really lifted since then. But she, you know, she was addicted to it. She was getting up early and knocking those out. But I want to ask you, like looking back on that book, is there anything that you would add to it today?
When you do write a book and it's by the time it's published, it is, you know, years before. One of the things, you know, our metabolic workouts are quite different than what I have in that book. We definitely use a shorter work period with a longer rest period, so it's more intense because in that book, and I think I do have, you know, longer work periods, and so it does become a little more cardiovascular. So we have shortened our work periods and increased our rest periods, basically making the workout more intense when it comes to the metabolic workouts. Obviously, what I always say with that book is that, you know, I have to write it for, you know, a person that's, you know, I don't know the person, I don't know who's picking a book up. It is a general program. And what I've realized is that that book is really best used if, you know, a trainer is taking somebody through the program, and that way they can individualize the program. You know, if somebody's unable to do a full range of motion overhead squat, they can deload them and put them on a TRX. And, you know, so as having a coach is going to be, you know, the real secret to making that female body breakthrough, because, you know, having someone with outside eyes watching you do the program, helping you to individualize it. And then, you know, things like with the metabolic program, I was limited because I was just trying to use, you know, stuff you could do, body weight that most people had access to. We at the gym use ropes, we use kettlebells, we use sandbags, we use, you know, the prowler. We use so many different tools when it comes to our metabolic workouts that they look quite a bit different from, you know, those metabolic workouts. But goal being to push the intensity and get the heart rate up and, you know, really get that afterburn effect. But yeah, I would say, you know, above all, you know, I think, so, you know, since then I wrote the fitness professional's guide to the female body breakthrough, which really has, you know, all the behind the scenes of the female body breakthrough for those trainers that are out there that are taking their clients through the program, which is something I've, you know, found that a lot of trainers, you know, took that book and have started to just, you know, use those programs with their clients, which is totally fine with me because that's great that, you know, they're using what I've put out there to help women to get results.
It's great stuff. And you kind of went into the next question a little bit that I had for you. But, you know, when it comes to conditioning, there seems to be a lot of different mindsets. And obviously, like you mentioned, we have tons of tools at our disposal now. Like, what are the main tools that you guys use for conditioning? And how do you like to set it up? How do you like to progress your clients?
Well, I mean, I'd say it's not really about the equipment or about, you know, any piece, any tool or any, you know, there's no secret, you know, we're not like kettlebell people or we're not sandbag people. You know, we use everything and they're all tools in our toolbox. And it's really about, one, you know, getting the client to move better. And that's why we do use the functional movement screen to see, you know, how well can they move and how can we help them to improve their movement so that, you know, we're actually helping people to move better, because that's number one. And so, you know, then from there, when they can move with, you know, good range of motion and they're able to, you know, really, you know, they have the strength to, you know, perform a lunge, perform a squat, and the flexibility, then we can load them. And so really all of these tools are ways to load the different movements and to, you know, really put an increased demand on their body so that their body changes. So that's, you know, I think, you know, a lot of trainers get caught up in the different, you know, cool tools that come out. And there are a lot of great, fun things that are coming out. But really just to kind of go back to the basics and remember what our job is, which is to help people to move better. And that, you know, not everybody needs those tools right away. But then when, you know, when they can move well, they have good range of motion, they have good flexibility, and you're trying to get their body to change. Now, you know, giving them a sandbag or giving them, you know, a kettlebell, these are going to be, you know, really great tools. They're going to put a demand on their body that their body's not used to and challenge them in a different way. And so, you know, we really use all different things. At this point, we don't really have anywhere to sit in our gym. I would say that's for sure, which I don't really understand how you walk into most gyms and it's like a room full of equipment that you sit on. Come to Results Fitness, you don't get to sit. So it's pretty much like you're going to stand and do a pulley exercise. You're going to stand at a squat rack. You're going to stand and do something with a kettlebell. You're going to stand, maybe just do something with your body weight. You're going to stand, you know, and use a TRX. You know, you might be on the floor doing planks or hip extensions or something like that, but there isn't anywhere where you're going to actually just, you know, sit on your butt and and do anything in one plane of motion. So,
we've run into a Boyle's. If you look at the side, like the wall, there's just like sweat marks like all on the along the wall when the kids are just kind of leaning against the wall after sled. So hopefully you got the walls covered up. Or I know you guys have some. Tons of great stuff in there, so hopefully it's taking up the room so people can't lean against the walls. It drives me nuts.
Yeah. Now, our favorite room is our most recent expansion was our big group room where we do our group classes.
Yeah.
And it's literally just one big open room with, we have turf in there and, you know, and just toys, but just the space, you know, just to be able to you know, that's like our favorite room because there's so much space and you can move around and you can, you know, use all of those tools. And so it's a lot of fun.
Another one of the questions that I like to ask people is to ask them kind of where you see the fitness industry heading, because it is, you know, it feels like, you know, you go to a seminar 2 years ago, then you go to, you know, 2 years later, that all that information, everyone's saying like, oh, no, that's wrong. We got to do it this way instead. Where do you kind of see the fitness industry trending right now? And, you know, what do we have to look forward to?
Well, you kind of touched on it actually in the beginning when you were talking about females in the industry. And, you know, absolutely there's a lot changing in the industry. But at the same point, there's also, I think, a lot of the principles are staying the same, that when you really look at the principles and you look at, you know, what we do and, you know, I don't think, you know, there's definitely, you know, I think a need for trainers more and more in our industry, because people are realizing that, you know, moving their body, not sitting on a machine, is going to be the most effective way. And when it comes to doing a lot of the exercises that people are realizing they need to do, they are exercises that you need instruction. And so that's the cool thing for us as trainers, is I think we're set up in a good position right now because people are looking for, you know, help, and they need help. And I think it's getting away from those rooms full of equipment that people are going to go and sit, you know, and do their exercise, and moving more towards, you know, working with a coach and learning how to move better and, you know, using some of the, I mean, when you even look at The Biggest Loser, they were using, you know, ropes, they were using kettlebells, they were using, and this is what the public is seeing, you know, so they were using a lot of the, you know, the tools that a lot of us trainers are using, but, you know, the average client, the average person is not going to go into a gym and start swinging a kettlebell because they don't feel comfortable doing that. So they're going to hire a trainer, they're going to hire a coach. So good news is, I think as trainers, we're in a great place that if you do become the best at what you do, you're going to have, you know, a very lucrative career as the years go by in the next 3 to 5 years. But the other thing that I think, you know, there are a lot of females in the industry emerging, and I'm excited about that because I think females do have a lot to offer this industry. And, you know, a lot of them have been, you know, whether they've been in aerobics or they've been in, you know, yoga, I think more and more we're seeing females who are, you know, coming into the, you know, strength and conditioning and, you know, not afraid of, you know, strengthening and weights and lifting weights and, you know, starting to share that message, the same message that I had in my book in the Female Body Breakthrough. And so as more and more of the females in the industry are, you know, gaining confidence and realizing that they have something to offer this industry, which they absolutely do, because I think probably, you know, 70% of most personal training clients are females. And so it's always amazing to me to go to a conference and it's mostly men, you know. Like there needs to be more females in the industry. And so I think that's going to be a huge shift. And I think as men, you know, as the men in the industry start to support the women in the industry, I think, you know, really as a team, I mean, Alan and I have worked great as a team. You know, I think men have a lot to offer, but women do too. And it's very different. You know, we both have different things to offer this industry. And I think as the men start to see, you know, what women have to offer this industry, I think it's going to add a whole new dimension to, you know, really what we can offer to people, you know, when it comes to fitness, because like I said, the average personal training client is a woman. And so when you start to learn from some of the females in the industry, I think, you know, how to connect with women, and that's just going to add a whole new aspect to our industry.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, you know, I have so much respect for the women in the industry, because it is still kind of, like you said, a male dominant, you know, industry. And like we even at Boyle's, we have Nicole Rodriguez, who heads up the strength and conditioning component of our facility. Like she's our leader, and she's, you know, she's a badass. She's awesome at what she does. And I think as long as more women kind of see that as an opening, and if you're afraid of the economy not being so great, trust me, there's still people that need to get into shape. So, you know.
Yeah, there will always be. I mean, I think, yeah, it's what I think, you know, we're in a good industry.
Yeah.
I think, you know, even in a, you know, in an economy that is struggling, I think this industry is something that's a necessity. But yeah, I think as women are gaining confidence and realizing that they have something to offer that the men in our industry don't, I'm excited to see that shift. Because, I mean, even, you know, when you go to a Perform Better conference, there's only, like, I'm like one or two female speakers of,
yeah,
like the, you know, all of the, I mean, there's 3 days worth of speakers, 4 speakers every hour. And, you know, like me and, you know, Sue Falsone and,
yeah,
maybe Diane Vivas, you know, I think she's in Long Beach again, but, you know, so we don't, you know, there's just so few females, and a lot of it has to do with confidence, a lot of it has to do with not realizing, you know, that they have, how much they have to share. The other thing that frustrates me is the female magazine, the women's magazines, women's fitness magazines, when they contact, you know, a male personal trainer, and it's not anybody's fault except for the females in the industry that, you know, they're not putting themselves out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, instead the magazines feel that they have to contact, you know, men to get advice on training for a women's magazine. And so I would just love to see, you know, more and more females, you know, start to, as they start to grow in this industry and start, so that's kind of, you know, something that I want to do over the next, you know, couple of years is start to help more women to, you know, reach their potential and in this industry and in their career in fitness and really start to offer everything that they have to offer to this industry.
Well, yeah, let's talk a little bit more about the business side of things. I think it was last year, you and Alan went through with Perform Better and did a whole series of seminars focusing on the business aspect of things. And, you know, it was a 2-day seminar. And again, I think you guys must have helped hundreds, if not, you know, over thousands of people improve their businesses, because things are definitely trending in a different direction. We're kind of getting away from that whole one-on-one personal training setup. You guys are having tons of success with the semi-private training. And we actually got a question from Dan, who's in the UK, so he's on the other side of the pond. But he says, if I'm new to starting semi-private training, what's the best way to get it out there? I'm based in the UK, and semi-private training is rare, especially where I am based. So how do you kind of get the ball rolling with that?
Sure, yeah, and I'll just touch on what you had just mentioned. Yeah, the seminars we did with Perform Better, we've done them 2 years now, the mm-hmm. 2-day seminars, and we're privileged to be able to be aligned with Perform Better, and everybody should be going to a Perform Better event at some point during the year. But we're going to be doing those again next year, the 2-day events. But in the meantime, we actually have, Alan just did a webinar, and I think you're going to talk about this, but he just did a webinar, and if you missed that, you definitely want to check that out, reps2revenue.com, which is where he talks about the death of personal training and a lot of these topics, you know, really about semi-private training. And also, you know, that we are going to be, we did capture that seminar on video, and that we are going to be offering that as a course, you know, so that's something that's definitely check out, reps2revenue.com. But as far as semi-private training, we get that question all the time. People all the time are asking us, you know, oh, in my area it doesn't work, or it's different here, or how do I, you know, and I think what we need to realize is that we're the ones who are teaching our clients that private training is how it's done. Most of our clients, when they hire you as a personal trainer, a lot of them have never had a personal trainer before, and they don't really know what it's supposed to be like. And, you know, basically you're the one who's teaching them this is what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to just kind of, you know, step out of your own world, you know, because that's our world is private training and that's how it's done. But for the average client, they don't really know. All they know is they want to get in shape. They want to lose some weight. They want, you know, they want to feel better. And they don't, you know, but they don't really know what it's like to work with a personal trainer. So, first of all, don't be afraid to be, you know, to offer something different just right away. And I would say, you know, sometimes it's hard if you've been, you know, you're the one who's taught your clients that private training is how it's done. Then it is going to be hard for you to kind of switch those people over, because you've taught them that, hey, this is how I train people. This is how you get results. So it may be that you have to kind of leave them alone, and the easiest way is to, you know, basically from now on, any new clients you sign up, you let them know, yes, I work in a semi-private environment, you know, so you're still going to get an individualized program, but I'm going to work with up to 3 people each hour. So right now, you're my only client this hour, and that's great, so we're going to get to spend some time together, but, you know, we may have another client or two join us at some point. And that's really how it starts, is you get that first person signed up. You know, yes, you do charge them a little less, so in the beginning you end up making less that hour. But, you know, then as soon as that second person signs up, you know, now you have 2 people in the hour, And really, it's just about, you know, about starting to build your business that way. And that it doesn't have to be just across the board. You know, it's like you can do it slowly over time. And that's how we did it. We started to offer it. We started to have a few people do it. And then pretty soon, you know, everybody was doing it. And so then we stopped offering private training completely. And there were still a couple of old clients who still did private training. And the key is just when they do need to change their schedule, then you try to slip them into a semi-private group and just say, well, you can come, you know, this hour, and but it is a semi-private group. And then hopefully when they do, they love it and they enjoy it and they decide, hey, you know what, I can switch to this. But overall, it's, you know, it's just taking that step of, you know, starting to offer it to the people who are hiring you and starting to realize that once you start training people semi-private, you'll never want to go back to private training again because it is so much more effective. It's such a more effective use of your time. But not only that, your clients really do get better results. And it really is, it makes the session so much more about them. And it's no longer, you know, this relationship between you, it's not about the client and the trainer. It's about the client, the client-client relationship. It's about their success. It's about their results. And so it really just builds such a better culture, a team culture, you know, and that's what we love about it. And then also, it, you know, it really keeps the trainer, so they have a schedule that's always full. Like if you have one person cancel, you still probably have two more people going to show up that day, you know? So it's like, it's not like you all of a sudden have a cancellation in your hour. Now you're not making any money, you know? So it's a way for you to really leverage your time, get better results with your clients, make more money. I mean, there's really no downside to it. And, you know, at this point, like, it's like strange to me that people haven't switched because, you know, we've been doing it now for quite a while, and I can't imagine doing private training again.
No, you brought up tons of great points, and hopefully, Dan, you know, like Rachel said, just start doing it. I mean, you're never going to do it unless you start, so.
Yep.
And another great point, man, that clients canceling can drive a personal trainer nuts, so make sure, like, getting in those semi-private sessions can be pretty huge. We got one more question from a listener, Sarah. We're going to backtrack a little bit, talk about training again for a second. She wanted to talk about kind of your training and how you mentioned you gained some weight while training for a big race that you did a while back. She believes it was Ironman. How long did it take you to lean out? Do you still do any endurance training at all?
Yeah, and, it, you know, just to clarify, I didn't actually, it wasn't weight that I gained. It was actually just my body changed. I gained fat, you know, and lost muscle. And so that was actually, you know, by the time, it was an Ironman I trained for. And I talk about it in my book, The Female Body Breakthrough, about, you know, the journey. And I was up to doing, you know, 20 hours a week of cardio, you know, basically training my body to do an Ironman. And I think, I mean, the main idea is that when you're training for an endurance event, you're training your body to be efficient at endurance. And so it becomes efficient to the point where it doesn't burn very many calories. You know, you might burn some muscle off, and, you know, it really does become hard to keep your body, your metabolism going and keep yourself, you know, lean, because your body is becoming, you know, adapted to that endurance, to your workouts. So you're doing more and more exercise, but you're burning less and less calories. And so I, you know, that's what I found when I did the Ironman. I, you know, I was surprised because it's like you're doing so much exercise, but yet you still have to really watch what you're eating. And, you know, I still, so once I did the Ironman, I basically said, okay, I'm switching gears, no endurance training at all. I went to, you know, basically like workouts that are in my book, two strength training workouts and two metabolic workouts a week. And it took me about 6 weeks, you know, really to lose. It was more just shifting my body fat. It was taking my body fat percentage from, you know, probably, I don't know, 25% to, you know, 18%, you know, so back to where I like to be. So it's, you know, that's really all it was about was, and I lost a couple pounds, you know, it was a couple on the scale, but it really wasn't about the scale. It was more about the way you looked and the way, you know, your body is reinvented. And so it took me only 4 hours a week and then six weeks to get myself, you know, back to the way I like to feel, the way, you know, back in, like I talk about, you know, into your genes and how, you know, when your genes start to fit you not so great, that's when you know that, you know, your body's kind of changing not for the better. And so it's, you know, those genes will not lie and they tell you exactly where you're at. And so that's, you know, that they're the best measurement rather than a scale, because they'll tell you, you know, where your body's at. But Yeah, overall, and do I still do endurance? Yeah, I do. I actually enjoy going out for a run. I really love cycling. I fell in love with cycling as I got into triathlon. And so it's really just finding that balance of, at this point, I actually have a whole team of people we're training for the Nike women's half marathon. And what I find is, like, a half marathon where it's, you know, basically a two-hour event is much easier to fit that into your training schedule and than an Ironman, and still be able to keep strength training a priority, you know, still keep, you know, that you're keep your muscle and keep, you know, keep that as part of your workout. So, yes, you know, I do still do endurance as part of my workouts, really more just because I enjoy it. And I enjoy having those goals, those physical goals. It's something that keeps me going. And, you know, a lot of times I get a lot of my best creative business and article ideas when I'm out for a run, because it's, you know, it's the only time I can really switch off. Because, you know, if I go into the gym, I love working out in our gym, but I'm still, you know, on when I'm in the gym. I'm talking to clients. I'm, you know, I'm basically working, which I know it's a tough job. having to go to the gym and work out and talk to clients. I can't complain. But at the same time, you know, running for me, if I go out for a run, sometimes that's my meditation, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, kind of for me. So, yeah, I still do enjoy some endurance training.
Do you think that you would want to do another Ironman or another kind of competition like that again?
I don't think, you know, never say never. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a half Ironman actually next year. I already signed up for one. So, you know, I don't know about a whole Ironman though. A whole Ironman, it was like a full-time job. it was. I mean, I did it right after. So Alan kind of tells in his recent webinar you just did, he tells this story of, you know, our business, how we opened our business and we set it up so that, you know, basically it could run without us. And we didn't know that it could run without us until he was diagnosed with cancer. And so we both stepped out of the business. He was diagnosed with cancer twice. It came back a second time. And so there was a period of, you know, 3 years that we were basically out of the business. You know, we weren't really there much. We were really focused on him fighting this life-threatening disease. And so mm-hmm. when he, you know, finally beat it and it was gone for good and, you know, we were kind of getting back into our life, we realized, hey, check it out. The gym is still running. That's pretty cool. And so, you know, we actually, you know, realized we were able to, you know, still collect the paycheck. The gym was set up on systems. You know, our team was still doing a great job. And so the two of us kind of said, you know what, let's just take this next year off. And why, you know, let's not go back to work yet. Let's relax, enjoy our health, you know, let him recoup from what he'd been through. And so then I was able to, that's when I decided, you know what, I'm going to train for an Ironman. And so, I mean, literally it was a full-time job because I, at that point, what we really were taking that next year to just, you know, we did some traveling and I was training for that Ironman and he was, you know, recovering from what he had been through. And, you know, for us, it was just, it was basically, you know, now that we had a business that was set up on systems and that did run itself, we were able to do that. And so, so I don't know. I don't know if I'll, you know, do one again or not. You know, it definitely has to become, it becomes all encompassing. It becomes like everything that you're focused on. And so, you know, after that, then it was, you know, writing my book became what I, you know, so I tend to go, you know, whatever I'm doing, I do 100%. And, so we'll see, who knows, maybe one day.
Cool. Fair enough. And the last thing I wanted to talk about, obviously we kind of mentioned a little bit before, but cutting reps to cutting revenue. You guys, again, did it with a Perform Better circuit last year, but now I think that's great with the, you know, with the internet, we can reach so many more people, and you guys are kind of bringing it to the internet. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, and that's exactly what we're doing, is basically bringing that course that we're doing. We're making it available for a two-week period. People will get access to the seminar, get access to us. We'll be doing a live question and answer. You know, basically, you know, bringing that information that we were sharing in those seminars. If you weren't able to get out and see us live, you know, then this is a way for you to get that information. And so, that is on sale this week. And like I said, go to reps2revenue.com. Also, I'm going to be doing a webinar next week, which is going to be aimed at females in the industry, like I was talking about. But also men, you know, a lot of men will get a lot of stuff out of the information as well. I actually did the webinar I'm going to do, I did as a seminar over in England, and I had a lot of the male audience come up to me and say, wow, you know, I sat in thinking I wasn't going to get anything out of this, and I actually ended up getting a lot out of it. So it is going to be geared towards females, but I encourage males to get, you know, men trainers to get on the line too. That's going to be next week on Tuesday. It'll be 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you're on my Facebook page or, you know, my email newsletter. You can go to rachelcosgrove.com, and I'll be sending out details about that later this week. So that'll be on next week on Tuesday. So definitely mark your calendar for that webinar, which, you know, I'll be basically going over some of my strategies as a female in the fitness industry and some of the things that I've found to work, you know, making my way through the industry. So, yeah, so lots of exciting stuff going on, but definitely check out, you know, reps2revenue.com, and you can get more information on that.
I mean, you're very busy with that, but is there anything else that people should keep an eye out for, you know, in terms of your website, or things that they should keep a lookout for, like in magazines or anything like that?
Well, I'm still writing with Women's Health, so
oh, cool.
Definitely pick up a copy of Women's Health. You know, I've got my column in there. And then, you know, get on my Facebook fan page. If you go to, you know, Facebook, Rachel Cosgrove fan page. And become a fan, because I definitely keep that updated pretty frequently. And then my website, rachelcosgrove.com, is where you can get on my newsletter and get any updates that we have going out. So, yeah, that's everything we got going on. We at this point, we have our business coaching group, which Alan and I work with. We have quite a few people in that. And so that's really where Alan and I spend the majority of our time, and where our priorities are with our coaching members, who are mm-hmm. most of them are trainers or who are opening gyms, or and so we're coaching them, and so that's a lot of fun for us to be able to help people who are where we were 11 years ago, and you know, help them to guide them through, not make the same mistakes we made. So if you are a trainer in the industry, there is our book, 55 Strategies of Fitness Business Success, which was basically 55 mistakes that we made. And so it's a very valuable read if you're in the fitness industry and, you know, running your own business or considering to run your own business.
Very cool. Well, Rachel, I really appreciate you taking some time. I know you're super busy. So thank you for coming back on the show. And everyone out there, don't forget to check out our website, rachelcosgrove.com. Check out the fan page. We'll throw links for all that stuff on there, and also the Counting Reps to Counting Revenue website, where I'll throw a link for that in the show notes as well. So lots of great stuff coming up. Again, Rachel, thank you so much for taking some time. We'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Definitely have some cool stuff in the show notes for that. Now I'm back here with John. Beautiful wonders of technology and time displacement. That we're going to be going over a couple topics. There have been some news stories, and again, we're trying to fine tune what the show is going to be like. I just realized literally 5 minutes ago that Lee sent an email like a week ago with a bunch of notes in it that I never saw.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
So hopefully I can go through that and we can talk about it. But one of the things we did want to bring up, and it was something that was posted on my Facebook, and I'm sure it was posted on yours too, John. And the Daily Mail in the UK seems to be a great place to get sensational stories, like crazy
yeah.
stuff. Because I have two stories from there this week.
I saw that.
But the first thing we want to bring up, and there's some ad playing somewhere.
Scrubbing on their hands and knees.
I have no clue where. As long as you guys can't hear it, I don't care.
I don't hear it. I think it's just in your head, homie.
Not some scrub right brush. It must be on this website. But anyways. for beauty. The title of the story is supersizing to be the world's fattest woman, says 52-year-old mother of two. And she's only half.
No, it's not 52-year-old. It's 52 stone.
Oh, 52 stone.
The world rejoished when Scarlett Johansson revealed that
52
she was
stone, which is like 800.
Husband Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, it's about 800.
Like the hearts of millions
50,
of men when she
like
landed
that.
In the arms of actor Sean Penn.
Oh, okay.
That relationship
this,
only lasted.
This ad's driving
like
me nuts. Take
minutes,
it over, John, for a second. I gotta figure out how to close this.
Had a chance to chat up the stunning actress. You've already missed your opportunity.
Okay, there's really nothing to tell. That's what it says at all. You know, this woman is absolutely enormous, and she's actually wanting to be like she wants to break the world record by being the fattest woman ever, and she's all like proud of this, and she thinks that this is good, and she feels so good being fat, and it's just
well, I think
I
it comes in this, the discussion where, you know, there's definitely a an organization of people that say, all right, you know, it's weight discrimination, and you know, people should love the, you know, the bodies that they're in, no matter what the size. And I think we can all agree on that to a certain extent. If someone, until you get into the morbidly obese category, where you're saying, you know, maybe you should think about your health, and try to get some help. Like, you know, you're not saying that you're a horrible person, but you know what? Everyone needs a little help. People get addicted to whatever it is, whether it be cigarettes, alcohol, food, collecting stuff. Like humans tend to have addictive personalities, and I think this is one of the cases where, you know, maybe we shouldn't, or maybe we need to figure out how do we support this person, or you know. People like this who are just like, yeah, no, I'm happy being 600 pounds or 700 pounds when, you know, you want to really say, are you really?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, like, I personally don't know. What am I trying to say? Like, you don't have to be, you know, stick thin. You don't have to have, you know, 3 ounces of body fat on your entire body. Like, absolutely not. You know, people come in all shapes and sizes, and that's fine. I think the biggest – there are two things. I mean, you can make the same argument for someone trying to look too lean. They have this crazy idea in their head of, you know, this concept of what they should look like, and you could claim that they're going overboard in the other way, in an unhealthy way, either physically or psychologically. But this is – absolutely. I mean,
well, she's practically killing herself because she's even mentioned that, you know, she's already made preparations. If she does die, her sister is going to take custody of her kids. Like, she knows there's the potential that she could die and she can't support her kids that are not even teenagers.
Yeah. I mean, it's I don't know.
You're correctly right. I don't know. Like, you know, what are you going to even say?
It's an
anomaly.
Yeah. And that's all it is. And it's being sensationalized, and it's a shame. And you know, I'll take the smallest silver lining and say, yeah, you know, it's good that at least she doesn't seem to have self-esteem issues. But the fact that she's actually doing this on purpose, that's a little scary. And just like you said, I mean, she has children, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, you can't accept that. You can't accept that as being all right.
Well, it's like one of those situations where are the kids in danger? By that example, say if your mom was a heroin addict.
Right.
And she was doing heroin in front of her kids, and, you know, she was clearly killing herself. Yeah. This woman's killing herself.
Yeah, she's absolutely killing herself. And you know what the saddest part of it is that they show her back-to-back with her sister in the article, and her sister's lovely.
Yeah,
I mean, she's
great.
Yeah, she's a really, you know, good figure. Good, yeah, right? What's up, girl? You know, and it's just like, girl. And it's just absolutely, I don't know. You just, this is the kind of stuff I think you just.
We are an interesting species, John. People, the aliens who drive by are just going to be like, F it, man. Not even going to stop. Just keep on going. It's like,
I just have no words.
Well, let's,
no
words. Speaking of having no words, I mean, let's be, I mean, this might even be more depressing. Pictures of Eva Mendez.
And again, first of all, man, you can't look. She's in a movie set, playing some kind of weird.
Role. It might be for a role. I understand that.
I'm just for the role.
The only thing I want to say here is, man, Eva Mendez always smoking in these pictures, not so much.
Eva Mendez can still call me. How about that?
Dude, she can call me anytime. Call that.
I don't know.
Call that FitCast hotline.
I have no idea what this has to do with the actual FitCast, but I'll go with it.
No, all right. Oh man, I wanted to talk about something in the news that I forgot to talk about, but I wanted to talk the new respect for CrossFit that I have.
Oh yeah, go for it. What is this?
So Kelly Starrett, if you might know, you might have seen his stuff on the Mobility Wad website.
Okay.
John, I really think you should check out his stuff. I would really like to know what your thoughts are.
Okay, cool.
On his stuff, but. He came and talked.
Send me a link, call me.
Just search Mobility Wad, WOD.
Okay. Oh, I've heard it. You know what? Okay, yeah.
So
I have heard that.
Kelly came into Boyle's last or 2 weeks ago now, and he presented to our staff, and anyone who knows Mike Boyle or heard him talk knows he hates CrossFit. He's not a big fan, because you can search CrossFit on YouTube and 9 out of 10 videos that you see are going to be looking like people who are just going to die. Like they're going to destroy their bodies. Like they're going to snap in half or, you know, their arms are going to pop out of their bodies or their eyeballs are going to explode. So I kind of agreed with Mike to a certain extent. We've talked about in the past, like, all right, CrossFit is only as bad as the instructor or the coach.
Right. Right.
Or the programming. So, Kelly came in, super bright guy, fantastic guy. One of the nicest guys I've actually met in this industry, and he's definitely one of those guys. Like, I will give you every ounce of time that I possibly can give you today. And, you know, he definitely stuck around for a little bit and talked with us. But, you know, he presented, he is, as you would, you know, see from the website, he is a mobility first kind of guy, a movement like, you know, the priority is movement and, and then strength. And he brings that into the CrossFit field. And, you know, he reminds us that, you know, CrossFit is just a programming structure.
Right.
You can do with it what you like. And a lot of the things that he does at his gym in San Francisco are very much like what we do at Boyle's. A lot of the same exercises, but obviously there are some more, you know, there are squats and, you know, there is some more barbell work. But the, you know, I just want to say, one, he's agreed to come on the show, so hopefully we'll have him on next week.
Oh, cool.
Good. He will be breaking the run of female guests that we've had on the show. But it would be well worth it. He's an awesome dude, and I think he's going to be a fantastic interview. He's one of those guys that has that energy, that contagious energy like Martin Rooney or Todd Durkin has. When you'll listen to them and be like, shit, let's just go to the gym and let's lift some weight, man. Let's get out of here. Like, what are we doing? I'm going to go do some push-ups. What? It's raining outside? I don't care. I'm going to go do some sprints. So I think you guys really like his stuff, and I really recommend you check out his site, Mobility Wad. I think it's just mobilitywad.com.
That's all it is, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm on it now. I have actually gone to his site before.
Okay, great. No, he puts up a new video every single day of like a new movement or a new case. You know, huge props to Brendan Rierick, who works at Boyle's. He actually, you know, took the steps to get him to come into the facility and talk with
Very
us.
Cool.
So, you know, shout out to Brendan.
Yeah, and what we were saying, just to throw my two cents in the beginning, as far as your new respect for CrossFit, I agree with you completely. It just has to do – a lot of times I find the people that that talk stuff about CrossFit, they're really bringing out examples, and they're not talking about, oh, so you don't mind that they, you know, glorify throwing up? Like, yeah, no, that's not pretty, that's not very good, but what does that have to do? That's the hoopla around it. Evaluate the technique, mm-hmm. evaluate the structure, evaluate what they're doing. Don't, you know, if you're, you know, a linebacker, maybe that's not great for your only workout, but other, you know what I mean? Like if you're talking about someone that's just a general fitness enthusiast, someone that just wants to get into shape, isn't really after the biggest weight they can lift or the fastest they can run or the, you know, but they just kind of want to be good at everything and look good while they do
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have much of a problem with it. There are a few things that, yes, okay, I don't love the high rep Olympic lifts and, you know, and Olympic lifts and fatigue and things like that. And, well, that would be one thing that seems to be part of a lot of the structure.
Well, if you, so I think you have to kind of differentiate.
Differentiate.
No, it's again, it's hard. I can't hear myself when I do these podcasts or somewhere in bitching headphones. But, you know, if you look at like the CrossFit organization as a whole, I would still say the majority of the gyms out there probably aren't so great from what I've seen and from what I've heard.
Right.
But there are guys out there like Kelly who are kicking ass and they're doing great stuff with those communities.
Right. And the thing is that when it comes down to it, it's basically GPP workouts.
Oh, exactly what it is, yeah.
It's basically GPP workouts. So no one was saying anything about it when people were talking about, you know, pushing sleds and doing sprints and all these things. And then suddenly CrossFit basically put, you know, a name onto that and organized it a bit and people started shouting and screaming about it. But I don't see the difference. I really don't. I like it. I've recommended it to people before, and I do say, just like you said, find a good gym. Find somewhere where the instructors are qualified and are going to be looking after you and make sure that you're doing the right things and building up to speed. But other than that, I like it a lot for someone that has no particular fitness goals other than to be healthy, to look pretty good, and to feel pretty good. And that, quite frankly, is like 95% of the people that anyone trains. I don't care how many athletes you've worked with and whatever. Everybody wants those basic qualities, you know? So.
By the way, check out Brennan's website, rearickstrength.com, and it's just R-E-A-R-I-C-K strength.com. He hasn't written in a while, but it's because we are super busy at Boyle's in the summer, and finally things are going to be quieting down for the fall. So.
Cool.
All right. Where are we at? Is there anything that you wanted to bring up this week, Johnny boy?
What's
this CrossFit thing? I think that was Lee's.
I don't know. No, that was like someone overhead squatting with a baby. I don't even want to go into that.
Just WTF.
That's ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
See, like this is the stuff. It's like that. This is why CrossFit, you know, looks kind of weird to some people. Sometimes is when you see someone overhead pressing whatever it is, 200 something pounds with a baby strapped on their stomach, you know,
it's just ridiculous. Don't even go there. Let me see
we can talk about, you know, how we're going to wrap this up, and I'm going to watch Back to the Future 3 tonight before it gets too late.
There you go. You can do that. Yeah. I still want to talk about the guidelines for exercise, but since you...
No, that was A, my topic, and B, I think that is something more we would need like a good chunk of time for.
So not your topic. That was on my Facebook like weeks ago.
What, how to introduce metabolic training into your programming?
No, this was...
that question's better.
No, it was a meta-analysis on the actual dose...
Yep.
Results from exercise, which I thought was really friggin' important.
All right, speaking of wrapping it up, we're gonna wrap up the show right there. Thanks everyone for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed the interview with Rachel. Send in your questions for Nagar as soon as humanly possible. Questions or topics, because again, we're getting this in an open format now. We are doing some fun stuff, and yeah, man, I'm just feel good about where the show's going.
There you go.
Less Jonathan Fast is a good thing.
Great thing.
I'm just kidding. I know there's at least one person out there say, no, it's not.
There's one person that thought my voice was sexy like a year ago. They said that on the feedback. I was like, sweet.
My air conditioning's turning on. So that's where we're going to wrap it up. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Make sure to check us out on iTunes. Please subscribe there. Submit a review if it's positive. And until next time, if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything. See you next time.
And that's
set up, so let me turn this up a little bit.
Cool.
So I can hear myself in the snare a little bit. All right, so now hopefully I won't be like way louder than everyone else whenever I interview people. It's the pop. So off topic, got a lot of cool things to talk about. First thing I want to talk about is I left the iPhone and I got an Android phone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, big changes.
Big changes.
Which one?
I got the Incredible 2. It's twice as incredible as the Incredible 1.
That's truth in advertising, I guess.
Oh, it's a great phone. And the Android's really nice. It's a nice little piece of technology. They really have caught up to the Apple iPhone stuff. So,
you know, it's tough. I mean, as long as you're looking at a relatively good phone, they're all going to be pretty good. You know what I mean? Some do things better than others and, you know, whatever. But it's really just a matter of, like, what do you need your phone to do? And then you find which operating system seems to do it the best.
Yeah. But I had to switch to Verizon because I haven't mentioned, but I moved to a new apartment. And when I went to check out the apartment, AT&T had no service whatsoever. Like, I could not make a phone call out of my apartment. And Verizon has two bars, which is plenty to make a phone call. I even had, like, internet the last 2 days or the last, you know, 24 hours before the cable guy came, just running off my phone with the, what is it, 3G hotspot thing. So, it's a nice phone. I don't think people, if you're using Android phones like recent ones, you're not missing out on anything by not having an iPhone. I watched Back to the Future 1 and 2 over the last 24 hours.
Surprising.
I haven't even watched them since they were re-released in Blu-ray last November.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, actually kind of surprising. And you pick up so many things watching it in 1080p. That you would never pick up, like, if you go Back to the Future 2, when he's in the Cafe 80s, there's a Pac-Man machine in the background that says, like, do not touch, this is a priceless artifact. And, if you look in Back to the Future 2, you know how he has, you know how you can get those little things where you can, like, type out words and it will print out, like, a little strip? And you can, like, a label maker.
Yes, I do know about a label maker. Thank you.
So if you look at all, like, the time, like, the destination time, like, where you were, where you're going, where you came from kind of thing in the layout of the DeLorean, you can see from Back to the Future 1, like, the label's, like, brand new. And then in Back to the Future 2, they're, like, really worn down. Like, you can, it like, to just show that he's been using the machine a lot. I know that's stupid, but it is kind of interesting. So I really recommend, if you haven't watched those movies, you know, pick up the Blu-rays and hook them up to a nice TV, and see what it looks like.
There you go. That's an honest assessment from a completely
watching three tonight, man.
I bet you are, dude. I saw Captain America.
You were in America, speaking of Captain
America. I was in America, so I saw Captain America. Dude, it was awesome. I loved it. It was very kind of throwback action. It felt a lot like Indiana Jones type of movies. It was really cool. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it was very much like that too. Like, it wasn't like a nonstop action. Like, it was the plot was steady, and it built it up, and it was character development and kinds of stuff, and it was very cool. It was a very nice movie. I really liked it, but it did, like, the whole time I really was thinking, like, wow, this is just like Indiana Jones, but in a good way, not like a ripoff way, like as an homage to, like, you know, those type of 80s action movies that had a little bit more, you know, interest in acting and plot development than just like mindless action stuff. And it was really cool, but the action's there and it's fun.
Nice. I didn't get to see that one, but I will definitely check it out when it comes out.
Yeah, it was cool because on the plane ride home, I watched Thor finally, which was sick. And then got off the plane. Yeah, I love her. And then I get off the plane and I go to see Captain America. It was like friggin' Marvel movie madness. It was great.
That's a good deal. And that reminds me, I as of right now, I own no video game consoles except a regular Nintendo, like an NES.
Wow.
I sold the PS3 and got rid of it. And
sold the PS3.
Yeah, man. We've talked about it in the past. I just don't have time to sit down and
if you need a little money, if Boyle isn't paying you so well these days,
hook me up, dude. Tell the prince. We need to put this guy on retainer. But I actually picked up a Roku HD, which will handle all my Netflix stuff, and this Western Digital streaming thing. Which the other thing I've been doing is, you know, I held on to my Blu-rays because I'm like, I got all the Fast and Furious movies, I have all the Transporter movies, the Crank movies, Back to the Future, obviously. I have like 40 Blu-rays. So thanks to my new computer I got a while back, I've been ripping the Blu-rays into like 1080p. Like, these are like freaking huge 20 gigabyte video files.
Yeah, huge.
Oh, they're huge. And I've been putting them on an external hard drive, and I can just hook that up to the TV. So now I have like literally two boxes next to my TV. And it's just minimalist. I'm trying to get rid of like all this crap that I have, especially after moving to a new apartment. So that being said, I just bought a computer game for the first time in a long time. You ever remember Deus Ex?
No.
It's an old, old computer game. Not that old. I think it's like 2000 or 2001. A sequel that came out that was terrible, but there's this new game called Deus Ex Human Revolution, which is a prequel. And dude, the game is nuts. It is really good.
I'm playing, it's not like it's brand new, but Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Oh, it's amazing.
My God, it's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, Assassin's Creed 2 was pretty good. I enjoyed it. This one, it's unbelievable. And the next one that they're coming out with in November, it's coming out on my mother's birthday, actually. Maybe I'll get it for her birthday.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mom. I won't be talking to you that day. I'll be playing my video games.
Do you get Altair, man?
I can't even imagine what it's going to be. I mean, the Brotherhood is finishing, so ridiculous.
It's finishing off Ezio's trilogy.
Right. No, it is. But I'm saying what the gameplay will be like. I mean, think about how much
you've seen trailers
more ridiculous.
Stuff, right?
Yeah, I've seen the trailers. Okay. Sick.
Yeah, we'll be playing that on the PC.
Yes, sir.
That's one of those things where I will find a way to play it.
They'll make it for PC. They made Brotherhood
for PC. I have Assassin's Creed 2 for PC. It was like $4 during the Steam summer sale, which, by the way, Steam is like the greatest thing ever. I remember back in the day when I, freshman year of college, I ran down to the Walmart the day Half-Life 2 came out.
Oh, no.
And along with like two other guys that I just met, like we just moved in like 2 weeks before that because it came out in like October or September, and we sprinted down to the Walmart right when they were going to open up and picked up our copies. We went back to our dorms. This is like second week of classes. We skipped all of our classes for the day, and we you know, that was right when Steam came out, and like it took forever to get to authenticate the game.
Mm-hmm.
And we like sat there waiting literally all day, and we only got to play it at like 11 p.m. at night. It took that long for it to like authenticate because they were getting so hammered and the service sucked back then. But now it's like the number one place to buy and play your PC games. That will be relevant to like four people who remember that. But
the last game I remember playing on a video game, I swear to God, must have been Leisure Suit Larry.
You played that? You sick bastard.
Hell yeah, I played that. I was like 12 years old. That was the best thing ever in the world.
Cartoon boobies.
Seriously. And they like made you answer questions that they figured only
adults would know. Wow, you remember that. Holy crap.
Yeah. So we would run upstairs, like we'd play it in, you know, on the computer in the basement of my friend's house, and we'd turn it on and we'd run upstairs and be like, Mom,
who's the leader of Russia right now? Yeah, the prime minister of England?
Who ran against Nixon in his first election?
I love it. Love it. No, that's, man, you just definitely got some nerd crit with me. But, so yeah, I played a little bit. After I moved in, I was kind of smoked. I had bruises on my arms from moving to my arcade machines. But I, yeah, I've never beat Mega Man 3, so I'm trying to fight my way through Mega Man 3, and I have already thrown controllers twice.
Yeah, man.
The bullshit in that game.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they're
so good, though. It's like it hurts so good. John, you still there?
Yeah. No, I was just saying, like, it's... I have a memory from college... of all of us playing NBA Live, like the first one. And we used to get so heated and amped in those video games, like playing each other. And we'd like throw controllers. We'd like slam door crazy. And we lived on the same floor as our RA.
Yeah,
oh, my God. The RA would like on every night, shut the F up. Sorry, Jen. Sorry.
That's awesome. I love it. Dude, that's like that's the one thing that I don't know if I would talk to you or Roger about this, but I'm like, I just don't have, like, I don't get excited about stuff that's coming out. Like, the new Assassin's Creed looks cool. Like, I don't need to play it, but I really want to play it. But like back then, you would go over to a friend's house and you would see him, like I had this one friend who had like every Super Nintendo game. Like, he was super spoiled, and I would go there and I would see something like the Power Rangers game and be like blown away. Like, this is the greatest thing ever. I loved Power Rangers. And here's this game where I can morph into a Power Ranger.
Well, you know what it is? You know what it is? But that, I mean, now we're like used to ridiculousness. So even if it's crazy, we're like, yo, this is crazy. But we're used to everything blowing our minds. And if it doesn't, we're like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Back then, they would have like 5 pixels on the screen and you're like, this is amazing.
Oh yeah. Like, do you remember, man, getting Super Nintendo at age, what was it, 1991? So I was 5 years old. Getting Super Nintendo was I didn't care. You could have taken my brother, my sister, and my parents away. I wouldn't have given a crap. Just let me play Super Nintendo. So That's what's up. That was the state of my life at that point.
You know, speaking of super, this is pretty much like super nerd off topic. Like, that's normally
fine.
We're dorks,
Lee's
but
not
this
us.
Is like, this is super. Please, if Lee was here, she'd
join
be
in.
All yeah. Hell yeah, she would.
That's why we're getting married soon.
Oh, that's cool. Mazel tov.
Yeah, no. But yeah, man, I'm just, I think we have talked about this before, but I'm a nostalgia freak. I think that's why I like time travel stuff so much. But you know, to be able to you know, relive, it's always never going to be the same as you remember it, but it can get
it's
pretty close.
It's never the same.
No, but that's my goal. Like right now I'm trying to,
dude, when I went back to school for like my post back to do the sciences so I could go to grad school, I mean, I was sitting there and I'm like, you know, my mid-20s, and I'm like, this is going to be college part two, except when I was an undergrad, I had a girlfriend for all 4 years, so now I'm going to be like,
way better.
It's crazy. yeah, this is going to be way better. I'm going to be this college guy. Dude,
bet him and send him. Yeah.
Wasn't even close. It wasn't even close to that, like, you know, frat party of life that I thought that that was going to be. It was just studying. That's all I did.
No, but look where I got you, man. It's worth
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. Or maybe you, maybe it's like that movie, Holiday. Was it Something Man? Nicolas Cage.
I don't really watch his movies so much.
Oh, okay. Well, I know, I forget you're better than everyone else, but Nicolas Cage.
Well, not everyone else, just better than people that watch Nicolas Cage movies. That I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Dude.
He's got some good stuff. Wicker Man. I saw that. I rented that through Netflix, like right when I got a Netflix subscription for the first time. I'm like, oh my God, this stuff is shit.
We saw, like when we go on trips, a lot of times, like we'll go to see movies or whatever. So, but if there's nothing playing, we'll just get DVDs or whatever and we'll watch in a movie theater. Mm-hmm. So we, the travel
we'll
department.
Just rent a movie theater.
Yeah.
To watch a DVD.
I guess that is kind of crazy. But anyway, so yeah, just kind of used to it. But so they rented Nick Cage's last movie. It was like Drive Fast or something, or Angry Driver. I don't know.
Drive Angry.
It was Drive Angry.
Not good?
Oh, my God. It was the biggest piece of flaming pile of crap. Bummer. Actually, no. That does a disservice to flaming piles of crap because at least someone gets some enjoyment from it. Job. Usually the people that set – the bag on fire. This was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was horrendous.
That's okay.
It was so bad.
All right, I gotta run to the bathroom. So the last thing I'm gonna say is thanks for listening to the off topic. I'm gonna go to the bathroom. All right, I'll be right back.
Are we recording anything?
Yeah.